after mincha, you should not have a meal. V'ratzalomar, meaning to say, oneg hu b'shabbos atzmo, v'kavod hu b'erev shabbos. The Gra's telling us a very interesting idea. He says, oneg are those things, it could be the same activity, but if I do it before Shabbos, it's kavod. I do it on Shabbos, it's called oneg. I show respect by preparing, by entering Shabbos properly. Now, why is this important, that kavod is before Shabbos, oneg is on Shabbos? It's important for the following reason. This is a point that the pre-Yitzchak was a Itzel of Petterberger. He was famous because he was a student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who actually was known for being a very big Talmud Chacham before he started learning Musar. So Rabbi Yisrael Petterberger, I don't know how to say it nicely. So when they asked him, how come he's studying Musar, right? Because he could be a very big Talmud Chacham. So he pointed out there's a halacha about bread. Like, the Gemara in Ketzad Mevarchim tells us that there's a certain sequence of priorities. Which bread do I make the hamotzi on if I have a whole bread basket, and which bread do I not make hamotzi on? If I have pumpernickel bread and white bread, I make hamotzi on the white bread, not on the pumpernickel bread. So he also pointed out that the Gemara has a question. If I have a complete little roll, sometimes you go to a wedding, they give you a tiny little roll at the washing station, or you have a really big piece, which one do you make the bracha on? So the Gemara paskins that you make the bracha on the small, complete little roll rather than the big one. So he said, this is why I study Musar, because Shleimus is better than Godless. That was his line. Being a complete individual, right? It's very cute, no? Being a complete individual, a person who knows a lot of Musar, that's a more important contribution. That's halakhically a greater value than Godless. Okay, so that's Itzel Petterberger. So Itzel Petterberger also had a big chiddush, which is based on this gra. When do people, we just finished a lot of Yom Tovim, no? So we know that one of the differences between Shabbos and Yontiv is that on Shabbos, I can't light fire. On Yontiv, I can. So when do people light candles on Yontiv? I know, generally, in my house, I come home from shul, and the first thing I do, and I'm saying it online, I don't think my wife would mind, I wake up my wife, and I say, you want a bench left, right? And, right, because getting into Yontiv can be exhausting, right? I think, right, people, right, it's traditional, I think, that people bench left right before the meal on Yontiv, because you're allowed to light a fire. You just can't strike a match on Yontiv, but you could take from a pre-existing fire. So Rabbi Itzel Petterberger says, you know what? That's very nice. You're technically allowed to light the candles on Yontiv, but if you do that, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of kavod by lighting the candles. Because the Gra says that kavod means you light it before Shabbos. And the Rambam later on is going to tell us that Shabbos and Yom Tov both have the same halachos of kavod. So therefore, you should also light the candles before Yontiv begins. Even though technically you're allowed to, but if I do that, I don't get the mitzvah of kavod. That's what Rabbi Itzel Petterberger said. Maybe next week we'll discuss the two elements of lighting candles on Shabbos and on Yontiv a little more. Fine. So according to the Gra, kavod is anything that's done before Yom Tov or before Shabbos, and oneg is stuff that's done on Shabbos. Fine. That's the definition of terms. Let's talk about some of the details of kavod Shabbos. Okay, so this idea that I'm supposed to sit wearing my talis, Yoshe b'kovod rosh, as if I'm greeting the king, this is what the Mekubalim in Sfat took to become the idea of Kabbalah Shabbos. Our practice, Kabbalah Shabbos is probably the most recent part of the liturgy. Maybe Hakafos is a little bit after Kabbalah Shabbos, but nothing else. Kabbalah Shabbos is developed based on this idea that you're supposed to sit down and wait to greet the Shabbos. The Mekubalim used to wear their talis to Kabbalah Shabbos. If you ever go to Sfat, you still see it. That they go out into the fields and they go to meet the Omrim, right? Bo Neitze Likras Shabbos HaMelech. So this is the real source of Kabbalah Shabbos. What? They say Shabbos HaMalka. Okay, fine. Whatever that is. Whatever. I'm too young to understand that. The difference between the Shabbos being a king or a queen. Way too young. Fine. Now, Kavod Shabbos, halacha gimel in the Rambam, is I should have clean clothing, and I should have separate Shabbos clothing. What does it mean to have separate Shabbos clothing? So the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting line here in Siman Reis Samach Beis, which I didn't print. The Mishnah Berurah writes that, you know what it means? That I shouldn't wear anything on Shabbos the same as what I wear during the week. All of my clothing should be different. That's a big chiddush, no? He says your undershirt should be different also. Now, what does it mean? The idea is that kavod for Shabbos is not just based on the fact that people see me. Right? Even if I'm on a desert island and there's no one around, I have to get dressed up for Shabbos. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah takes that a step further. He says, you know what you should do? You should also not wear anything on Shabbos that you wear during the week. You should try to have separate clothing for Shabbos and for during the week entirely. Yeah?
Is it okay if I, it's not like normal weekend clothing, but say, you know, it's my Shabbos suit that I also wear to weddings.
Right. So, So to weddings, the Maharil used to wear his Shabbos suit to weddings because he said that to greet a chasen and kala is like you're building up the chorvos of Yerushalayim, and therefore it's very holy, so therefore you can wear your Shabbos suit. But apparently you're not supposed to wear your Shabbos suit during the... There's some story that Rav Soloveitchik, in his later years, after his wife passed away, so the boys in yeshiva would try to take care of him at one point, so the Rav went to the closet in the morning to get dressed, and by mistake he put on his Shabbos suit. And he was too tired to change, so he went wearing his Shabbos suit, and then he spilled some coffee all over himself, and he had to change. So he said to Rav Schechter, he said, you know, this is an onesh, this is a punishment for me, because I was wearing my Shabbos suit during the week. Now, I don't know what any of this means, but I think it's a nice idea to try to have separate clothing for Shabbos as much as possible. Obviously, if you can't afford it, I don't know of anyone, by the way, who really has everything separate on Shabbos. I don't think it's done. But Shabbos is supposed to be different. That's the idea of Big Day Shabbos, not only on clothing that people see, even if you are alone at home, and even the clothing that people don't see should also be separate, be different for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah elsewhere points out that Yom Tov we should have even fancier clothing than we have for Shabbos. Right? There's a big contradiction, though. What about Chol HaMoed? What do you wear on Chol HaMoed? Should you wear Shabbos clothing, Yom Tov clothing, weekday clothing? So the Mishnah Berurah does not pass that you should wear Yom Tov clothing on Chol HaMoed. He does not pass that you should wear Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed. He passes that you should wear better weekday clothing. Right? That means, I think, a suit that you wear to a good meeting, to an important meeting, is what you should wear on Chol HaMoed. I wear suits during the week, so I don't know about others. But your better suit, the suit that you wear, I had a meeting today. The suit that you wear to a meeting is the type of thing that you wear in Chol HaMoed. Shabbos, you should have a different outfit. Yontif, even different. It's often not feasible. It becomes very expensive to have four different sets of clothing. Right?
Take good care of them.
Take good care of them.
Don't gain or lose weight.
That's the hard part. That's the hard part.
You don't seem to have a problem.
So that's the halacha of kavod Shabbos and having separate clothing. Now, if I don't have separate clothing, so I should have clean clothing for Shabbos. And there's a special takon of Ezra, that's the Rambam at the end of halacha Gimel, that you should do laundry on Thursdays, mikvot haShabbos. Do laundry on Thursday. Is that necessary today? You see, laundry in the olden days used to be a very big process, no? That people...
Monday was washed.
Tuesday
maybe was ironed.
Right. And laundry was a very different process. You didn't just throw something in the machine with detergent and turn it on. It took hours and hours. It was really difficult. Ezra HaSofer said that you're supposed to do laundry on Thursday, not on Friday, because if you'll be doing laundry on Friday, it will interfere with your preparations for Shabbos. So, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a discussion in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa about whether today, right, maybe since laundry is so much easier, maybe the takon of Ezra no longer applies, and you could do laundry on Fridays. A big kula, right? That it's mutter to do laundry on Friday or on Wednesday. You don't have to do laundry on Thursday. So, Reb Menashe HaKatan, he is, which, the Ungvar Rav or something? I forgot which Hasidus he is. So he, in his tshuvas, gets very upset. He says, what do you mean? It's a takana. Ezra makes a takana that you have to do laundry on Thursday. We know that the Gemara tells us that you can't just get rid of takanas, right? You have to be greater. Who's greater than Ezra? Not possible. So therefore, he says that you're still obligated to do laundry on Thursdays.
Instead of
Wednesday, instead of Friday, Thursday has to be laundry.
Also, you're still not interfering with your Arab Shabbos.
Well, if it's done on Wednesday, the assumption was at the time of Chazal, the clothing would be dirty again by Shabbos. Right. So if you have enough clothing, so you can do laundry on Wednesday. That's true, but not Friday. What?
Maybe you have a huge family and you can't. It takes you 2 days to do it.
That's also possible. We don't know. The fact is, though, that this question of how can we say that the takana doesn't apply is a very strong question. What do you mean? We know that when rabbis institute something, it applies, even if the reason doesn't apply. So how can we say, how can Rav Shlomo Zalman say that you don't have to do laundry on Thursdays anymore? So you have to say along those lines that many of the Achronim have this idea that if the reason is built into the Gezerah, so then the Gezerah is going to be batal when the reason is batal. Fine. Again, the Rambam then tells us that in Halacha Hey that you're supposed to set your table before Shabbos. Right, Misad Adam Shulchano be'erev Shabbos. There's a discussion in the later poskim, right, what does it mean my table? Usually we only set the Shabbos table. The Magen Avraham has a line where he says you're supposed to set all the tables in your house. I think some Hasidim have this practice, no? That you put a tablecloth on every single table.
What does his house look like?
Yeah. Right, so there were two tables. Maybe. Two tables and three chairs. Could be.
Maybe they were still doing like in the times of the Gemara where every person had their own little table.
Four tables. Right. I don't know what it looked like. It wasn't. But the fact is that Kavod of Shabbos should not only be that the dining room should look nice. You see from that Magen Avraham that apparently the entire area of the house should try to look as nice as possible to get into Shabbos properly. So if we're talking based on me, but Old Yom, and the candles should be burning, right? That's Halacha Hey. Yeah, near Daluk, V'Shulchan Aruch, Mita Mutsa'as. This is all Kavod Shabbos. You have a lit candle, a set table, and a made bed. That is all Kavod Shabbos. Now, Halacha Vav in the Rambam is a famous Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara tells us that certain Chachamim Harishonim, certain early Chachamim, so they would do actions themselves to prepare for Shabbos. Some of them would chop wood, right? Mehem, Mishaya, Mefatzel, Eitzim, Levashel, Behem. Some would chop wood. Some would do the cooking. Well, right? Right? Some, right? I'm trying to learn how to cook. I do know how to make shalant. And I'm trying to learn how to make some other things. But there's some who would cook or salt the meat, etc. Now, Af al pisha in darko b'kach, even though all week they wouldn't cook, but for Shabbos they would. Anyone who does it, who does a lot of this, so that is mishubach, that's preferable. In other words, the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin tells us this idea of mitzvah bo yosei mibishlucho. The idea that if I have an opportunity to do something myself, rather than through a shaliach, I should do it myself. The Gemara only says mitzvah bo yosei mibishlucho in the context of Kedushin, and in the context of preparing for Shabbos. That's the only time that the Gemara uses mitzvah bo yosei mibishlucho. That if I have an opportunity to get married myself, I could technically appoint someone to as my shaliach to get married for me. But no, mitzvah bo yosei mibishlucho, I should get married myself, and I should prepare for Shabbos myself. That's all the Gemara says. We generally assume that this principle applies to every area of halacha, that I should do mitzvot. That's what Rashi writes there in Kedushin. That ki osa gufei b'mitzvos, right, that when I am involved in mitzvos myself, so then I get more schar. It sounds like every mitzvah, we apply mitzvah bo, yoser mi b'shlucho. Staka also, probably mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, if not for the fact that there's other concerns of embarrassing the person. But yeah, in theory, mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho should apply to all mitzvos. That's what we generally assume. Again, there's a... What? Again?
Mishloach
Manot. Mishloach Manot. Mishloach Manot, yeah, so you know the story about this. The Mishnah Brura quotes from the Binyan Sion that Mishloach Manot you only fulfill if you send it through a shaliach. And you don't fulfill it if you give it yourself. And Rav Hutner went to meet the Mishnah Brura, went to meet the Chofetz Chaim at one point. They have this in Rav, the Sefer Zikaron for Rav Hutner. They have a few of the conversations they had with the Chofetz Chaim when he went to meet. So he went to the Chofetz Chaim and he said, how can you pass him like this Binyan Zion? It's so difficult. Why do you quote it? So the Chofetz Chaim said, "Wenn mir haben geschrieben, haben mir gut durchgetan." That means that when we wrote it, we thought it over very well. So many people try to infer from that statement, when we wrote it, right, that the Chofetz Chaim didn't write all the Mishnah Berurah himself. There's a whole literature about this. I mean, the royal we, right? Who knows?
Why is it such a big deal what's the difference really between, because it literally says sending?
So some say because it literally says sending. Others assume that maybe you do actually increase, if Mishloach Manot is there to increase Chiba V'Reyot, to make people like each other more. So maybe if I go out of my way to hire a courier to take something to you, but if I just give it to my kid and I know that my kid's going to get a quarter by bringing it over, that doesn't really do the trick. But if I hire a courier service, I go out of my way, so maybe that's something. But the point is that the Mishnah Berurah says that the more I do the Kavod Shabbos by myself, the better it is. Right? Ko hamarbe hareza meshubach. That's what the Mishnah Berurah, that's what the Rambam says, excuse me. This actually is an interesting idea, no? You see, if Kavod Shabbos is just preparing for Shabbos, right? That's what we're saying over here. I'm supposed to cut the wood and prepare the food, etc. So usually I would think that preparing for Shabbos is a Hechsher Mitzvah, no? Hechsher Mitzvah means sometimes there's an action that's necessary to do a mitzvah, but that action is not in itself significant. For example, buying a lulav, no? Is there a mitzvah to buy a lulav? No, not really. The mitzvah is to shake a lulav. To buy a lulav is necessary, but it's not itself a mitzvah. It's not itself significant. The fact that these chachamim went out of their way to prepare for Shabbos and, right, to do a lot for Shabbos, not just to do a small token act, even though presumably they could have been doing other things, and they had many people could have helped them, this seems to show that preparing for Shabbos yourself is a mitzvah in its own right. It's not just a hechsher mitzvah. It's not just a preparatory act. It's a full-fledged mitzvah. Yeah.
According to the Rush, isn't Kiddushin also just a hechsher mitzvah?
Well, so that's the whole question. So that's why the Netziv has a famous essay about why Kiddushin is a new category of hechsher mitzvah, kasa v'kra. The Netziv invented a category to answer this question.
So you
can
say that about Kavod Shabbos also?
So we could say that about Kavod Shabbos also. Granted. But I have a few other proofs that Kavod Shabbos is not just a mitzvah, is not just a preparation to do a mitzvah, but it's an actual mitzvah. To prepare for Shabbos is an actual mitzvah, it's not just preparation. One of my proofs is as follows. The Mishnah Berurah comments, when we speak about buying food for Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah comments that you should buy food on Friday, not on Thursday, no? Why?
Before
refrigeration. So you're saying because the food would get spoiled. Nah, that's not what he says. He says the reason why I should buy the food on Friday is because when I buy food, it should be nikar. It should be recognizable that I'm buying it for Shabbos. And the halacha also is that when I light candles for Shabbos, the halacha is, right, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, in the Gemara, shelo yakdim velo ya'acher, that you shouldn't light candles too late or too early. Now, I understand why I shouldn't light candles too late, right? And then that's a no-brainer. You don't light candles too late because you're playing with fire.
Oh.
But lighting candles too early, what's the problem? So the Achronim say what it means is that if I light candles at noontime, early in the day, it's not nikar that it's done for Shabbos. It's not recognizable that this is a Shabbos action. The fact is, preparing for Shabbos, buying the food, and preparing the Shabbos, lighting the candles, should be recognizable that I'm doing it for Shabbos. That means that it's not just that we want to make sure that you have candles burning. But it's a lot more than that. That the action itself is significant. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch has a few proofs to this idea. That preparing for Shabbos is itself a significant act, is itself a mitzvah. It's not just a hechsher mitzvah. Again, there's a lot more to say about preparing for Shabbos. But maybe we'll just make one other point. We spoke a lot about kavod. We didn't speak as much about oneg as we spoke about kavod. We said that oneg is the physical enjoyment of Shabbos, correct? According to...
Red dot.
Okay, right. That's what oneg is. The physical enjoyment of Shabbos, probably. So now, this can explain the famous halacha. The Gemara says that, let's say a person has a really bad dream. So am I allowed to fast on Shabbos if I'm really scared? Yes. Right, Tanis Chalom, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Why? Right, it should be usher to fast on Shabbos. So the answer is, because no, the only reason I eat on Shabbos is because it's oneg, it's enjoyment. If I have such a bad dream, so the eating won't be enjoyable for me, because I'm so scared, so therefore, I'm allowed to fast in that situation. Also, it says in Shulchan Aruch not to stuff yourself during the second meal of Shabbos that you have space, especially in the coming weeks, as the day gets shorter, so that you're able to eat Shalosh Shudas. Because, right, Shalosh Shudas is also Oneg Shabbos. And if I am going to be so stuffed that I don't want to eat, it's not Oneg. It's not enjoyable. Shabbos, it should be a time of Oneg Shabbos. This, I think, is why... there's a whole discussion in the Kabbalah Sfarim and in the Poskim about the importance of eating fish on Shabbos. But they all make a point that if you don't like fish, don't eat it. Because, right, the whole idea is oneg. It's supposed to be enjoyable. So you have to find a way that, you know, to prepare for Shabbos in the way that you're showing Shabbos respect. And you should be preparing for Shabbos before Shabbos enters. So that when Shabbos enters, it's already, the house is prepared, you are prepared, etc. That's kavod. Oneg is to find a way that Shabbos should be an enjoyable day, a pleasurable day. That's the mitzvah of kavod and oneg Shabbos. And Emir Tashem next week will focus on more of the technical issues, hadlakas neiros. We'll talk about all the practical questions when you're eating at your friends' homes, etc. Thank you for coming.